Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. With me today is my friend Quilty. Say hi, Quilty.
Hi.
And my friend Chuck. Say hi, Chuck.
Hi.
All right. We're here at a wonderful, happy Passover. We're here at Passover Seder.
Happy Passover, yes.
With delicious food. And
we are the three people who are not Jewish.
We are. Yes. There's a couple other people here, but my wife's Jewish, so we celebrate Passover. And we like to have friends over, so it's friends
fun.
Over. And, you know, just like any time you would get together, you know, after the meal, after the festive meal, you talk about sports. Right now we got the Yankee game on. It's the second game of a doubleheader against the Cubs. And, yeah, Tanaka today, he gave up 2 hits, no runs, and he struck out 10. And he's looking really good
this
year.
He's looking good. He's got a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah, how much did they give him? They gave him...
The last game he had 10, I believe, 10 strikeouts. But, like, all in the season, I think he's up to, like, 23 strikeouts.
He's doing pretty good. Yeah,
assuming that's their strongest starter.
I mean, he's
going to be their ace this year.
He's the Japanese import. He's 25. They gave him a really big contract.
He was, like, 28-0 last year or something.
Oh, he had a ridiculous season.
His ERA was, like, 1.7 or something.
Yeah, he had a ridiculous year in the Japanese professional league.
I just hope it carries through. Sometimes, you know, when they join the Yankees, that doesn't always fall.
No.
Hideki
Arabu. Has to be the best example. But then you look at somebody like Hideki Matsui.
Yeah.
Because, you're comparing pitchers to hitters, but, you know, still, I mean, that was a big...
Yeah, but Hideki Arabu never had the kind of year that Tanaka had in Japan.
No.
When he was in Japan.
But being the fat toad that he was?
Right.
Poor
guy.
I
would compare him to Kuroda a lot. He seems to be like a younger version of Kuroda.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, with a lot more moving on his ball.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is there any other pitchers of, like, you know, real prospect or interest on the Yankee staff, or is that like
Michael Pineda is finally coming through.
Michael Pineda, who was injured all last season.
They got him in a trade with
the Mariners.
They traded a couple years ago. They traded Jesus Montero, who was their prospect catcher.
He was supposed to be a great catcher coming up. They were always going to be a great catcher. He's going to take over Posada. And they traded him because they're like, well, we got Posada here, and we don't know what to do.
They have eight other catchers in the pipeline.
So he goes to Seattle, and he's been doing nothing.
Right.
He's not even the catcher.
I think they demoted him this year to the minors.
He's not even the catcher there. He's the DH. He's the DH there.
But it was a weird trade for both teams because Pineda, as soon as he got here, he got hurt. So he had a great year for Seattle the year they traded him over here. But now he's finally coming. He's pitching this game. It's the seventh inning. He's pitching a shutout. So.
Yeah, he was injured all last season, but now he's okay, and he's doing pretty well.
So the Yankees actually have two. This is the first time in a long time the Yankees have two starters that are, I think, age 25. They're both 25, and their best years might actually be ahead of them instead of behind them.
It's one of the few times that in recent memory where the Yankees have more younger pitchers than older pitchers.
Well, that's what they need.
They've got Nova.
They need new blood. They really do.
They got Nova, Pineda, and Tanaka. And then they got two veterans, Sabathia and
even as a Yankee fan, I don't even follow it as much. I'm really sick of hearing about everybody's next year they're retiring.
Oh yeah,
it's
I know.
Everybody on the team.
Well, this is the year. I mean, look, it's April. It's still early. You expect a veteran team to get off to a good start early in the season. It's when it's going to get later into the summer. With the injuries and just the day-to-day.
We already got a bunch of injuries, though. Yankees
have
already
a
few.
Had
a few. Teixeira.
Not like last year, though.
No.
It was just they were decimated. The whole team was out last
But, I mean,
year.
Carlos Beltran's doing really well so far.
Ellsbury's
doing very well so far.
McCann had a big game over
the
weekend.
He's been doing well. Teixeira's out.
He'll be back in a week or so.
Yeah. Who else is out there?
Ichiro's
doing okay.
Cervelli just went on the DL.
Cervelli. I haven't.
Again.
You know where the problem is? Robertson in the bullpen.
They still have Cervelli. They got rid of him.
No.
No, they need him as a backup.
There was talk of them trading him because they have so many catchers in the minors for, a bullpen arm or something, but they didn't do it. Ooh, someone's mad on there.
Oh, yeah, the Cubs manager's yelling.
How are the Cubs doing this year?
Oh, not good.
Not good.
Not every
good.
Year.
This is they say that for the Cubs, this is the last year of the next years. This is the last, next year. You know, they always say, maybe next year they'll be better. Next year they'll be better. No, they are saying that this is the last time, and hopefully in a while, that Cubs can say next year. We'll worry about
Their GM
what's
is
the young players that are coming up. Their GM is the old Boston Red Sox.
Okay. Theo Epstein. He built the
he broke the
World
curse.
Series you know, winning teams for the Red Sox back in the day.
He broke the curse for the Red Sox twice.
They're hoping he'll break the 100-plus year curse for the Cubbies.
So what they're doing is they've been building up in the minor league system. They've got some good young players under contract, a lot of good pitchers coming up, a lot of really good hitters coming up. And so next year they'll be over 500. You know, might contend for a wild card spot. But not this year. Not this year.
Oh, no.
You know, I was reading an article on CNN about how they changed the rules somewhat, about mm-hmm. how what a catch is a catch.
Yeah, because they've instituted replay this
year.
Yeah. And it's been doing okay.
It's not bad.
It's been doing okay. It's not 100%.
Can you explain to me what the difference is in rule change?
Well, okay. Well, so say for an outfielder. If the outfielder goes and catches the ball, you know, in the old, before replay, what was your idea of a catch? Like, obviously, if he catches the ball and he holds it the entire time.
He holds the ball. As long as he has possession, like, as long as he's not juggling it.
Right, but that's the thing. Like, how long do you hold it until, some people would say 3 seconds, you know, 2 steps, stuff like that.
A couple seconds, you know, but, as long as he's reasonable control of the ball.
Right, but that was all up to the umpire's discretion. It could have been 3 seconds. It could have been 2 steps. There was no concrete idea of, like, a player catches the ball and he has to take at least, you know, 2 steps or whatever he has to do. It was never in the rule book.
Right.
It just said it catches, you know, when a player catches the ball before it drops to the ground, and then it's up to the umpire's discretion how long he has to hold it for.
Right.
But because that's so up in the air, so when they go to replay and say, well, how long did he actually have it? That's where the problem is. The other thing is
So what's the rule change, though? So is it like you have to hold onto the ball longer now?
There's no real rule change. It's just the interpretation. And how do you challenge that?
All right, because the gist of the article is just basically, like, I guess that the guy was pissed that it was, like, a way more strict version now. Like,
yeah.
The guy goes back to throw the ball, and, like, he drops it, and now it's not a catch.
Yeah, exactly.
That's ridiculous. We already caught the ball.
See, but that's the whole thing, because it was always in the past, you know, what did the umpire think?
Not get the out at third, but you already got the batter out. You caught it.
Well, that's where replay... While they institute replay and it's really helpful for a lot of plays, it's just when there are these weird ones. Because managers are getting really creative with how to get that advantage. And for a lot of these managers, it's in those replays. Oh, you know, we have an idea. Because they always talk about finishing the play. Like, they've been pushing it this year. I know Joe Maddon down in Tampa is talking about finishing the plays. Finish the plays. Like, that's why you see infielders hold their glove on a runner who's at second base and, like, slid in.
Right.
And, like, he stands up. And they'll keep that gloved hand with the ball in it on the runner even as he gets up for even that split second that his foot leaves the bag. And he can be considered out. So they're finishing the plays until it's, like, there's no doubt, okay, he's either safe or out.
What they're trying to avoid here is, in the past, there's been times where the umpires messed up and it was during, like, a playoff game. And it meant a lot to the team, or the, you know, they get it's actually a fair ball, but they called it a foul ball, and it would have been like the game winning hit, or they call somebody safe when a pitcher's pitching a no hitter, and he was actually out.
Yeah, this
has happened a couple, like, I think last year, or the year
Armando Galarraga.
Yeah, and
he had the imperfect perfect game.
Like, Chuck, I think you like it because I know you've been to games where you can clearly see the umpires are wrong.
Right, but I'm totally for that.
And now they can actually challenge it, and they have overturned plays, so it's really cool. Because, like, for years, fans have been screaming about these things. Like, that's not, you know, if we can see that the guy was clearly safe or whatever.
It's infuriating, especially at the stadium, where I didn't realize it until I went to the stadium and had that experience. That they got the TVs everywhere.
Yeah.
So, like, now everybody knows at the stadium that the umpire obviously screwed up, and they still don't fix it.
No, but now this is supposed to do it. But there's going to be a lot of parts of the game that are just going to disappear, like the neighborhood play, where it's, you know, on a double play, like the second, you know, if it's to the shortstop and he throws to the second baseman is not touching second base when he has the ball.
But he's
in the quote-unquote neighborhood of second base because it's such a bang-bang play. So now managers are going to start challenging those because, you know, he's not on the bag. It's not
very specific. They only get one challenge a game, right?
No, if they win it, they get a second challenge.
Okay.
And they can't challenge after the seventh inning, I believe it is.
So they have to be careful about when they
They have to really be careful about it.
Why not after the seventh? I guess it's like the most important calls that dictate the outcome of the game, you can't challenge.
Yeah, I forget the specific reason why. I mean, there's a reason why, but it's just, you know.
Commercials, probably. Something.
Yeah, something like that.
And you know, I think it's doing pretty well as far as it doesn't really slow down the game too much, unless it's some kind of really crazy call. Most of the time, they get it, they look at it pretty quickly, because it's not the umpires themselves who are looking at it, right? It's people back in New York.
Well, first of all, you would have your own guy in like the hallway.
Okay.
To
yeah, talk about the umpires. They get a feed from like New York or something, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, something like that. But they get all the angles.
Okay.
And
it's sort of like they do with the NHL, right?
The NFL.
I thought the NHL. I saw someone back in like Canada watches the replay or
something
like
that.
That.
Yeah,
I
forget.
Why but, is but some guy at a state
it's not
or
like
out of the country?
The NFL is the NFL. The referee goes under the hood and looks at the play himself.
Yeah, yeah, I see that.
This is different. Someone else watches it somewhere else. Like I don't know. An umpire
somewhere else
in New York watches it, or like somewhere across the country, whatever, wherever their home base
Arizona,
is,
Arizona, whatever.
Okay. Yeah, right.
They talk to the umpires on the field and say, okay, you were wrong.
That's like it's an impartial thing, so if the umpire doesn't feel all like
it's done by fellow umpires, so they don't feel slighted by it.
And it's not just in the NFL; it's just the one umpire, the one referee is under the hood. In baseball, it's all the umpires go in and look at it together, so
they
can
do that with the calls, the controversial calls of baseball. Yeah, every time it's controversial, all get together and talk about it.
Right. But it also moves a lot faster too. Mm-hmm. Like so far, like people would think, like in the NFL, it takes forever.
Okay.
They go to commercial, they come back, and you still don't know, and you're just like you're screaming at the TV. Here in baseball, it's done really quickly. Like they go, should we go look?
They usually
all right, let's
don't
go,
even go to commercial break.
No, they don't. They talk about it for a few minutes and. Then they just come back and they give it out, so they don't have to go anywhere too crazy.
Well, baseball's somewhat of a slow-moving game to begin with, so I think they need that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. So in the end, it's going to help out. And yeah, they have challenges up until the seventh inning, and I think after that it might be like, all right, you have to check it out.
Different
like
rules for playoffs, maybe or something. Or?
I don't know. We'll have to see. It's still very early in all this, so they have to figure that out.
Yeah, a learning process.
Yeah. So that'll be good. And.
Do you think eventually they're going to have an ump behind the plate?
No, but
they have a computer that like tells you right away if it's a strike.
Yeah,
or
but that's
not.
Part of the game, though. Yeah. That's the human element of the game that like balls and strikes. I think that's always going to be because that's part of the fun of the game because you get to know certain umpires and where their strike zone is.
Plus,
like that
takes away the job of the umpire. It overrules
the union. Won't be
the replay helps. The pitching, you know, the behind the plate, that's just say like, you know, it is or it isn't, no matter what you think it is, you know.
I think you'll see the DH gone. I mean, the DH come to the National League before you see umpires go.
No,
away.
I absolutely.
Because that
actually
creates more jobs for players.
Yes, and it's just ridiculous because now every day there is an interleague game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's silly at this point for. Pitchers to be hitting. I'm sorry. Like I'm a Mets fan.
There are people on the Mets who could be DHs right now that they could.
Oh my God!
We don't have positions.
I don't want to see.
That's the one difference between the National League and the American League. You're going to get a lot of resistance.
Oh yeah,
they're going to turn around and say, well, why does the American League do what the National League does?
No, they used to do it though. Yeah, they used to do it that, and because there's so much money to be put in, and it has been shown that DHs do. Are doing well. I mean, who was the MVP of the World Series last year for the Red Sox? David Ortiz. They're DH. He's not a first baseman. He's got an iron glove.
The Players Union will never let the DH go away in the AL because it creates older jobs for older players who can't play.
They're not good in the field, but boy, can they still hit.
All right.
That's why you got guys like, he's been on the Yankees.
Used to be on the Yankees.
Yeah, he's still playing. He's on Cleveland.
Oh, Raul Ibanez.
No, yeah, him and...
Nick Swisher?
No, the first baseman. Jason Giambi.
Jason Giambi.
He's still playing. He's 43 years old. Get out of here. And he's been hitting home runs and he's been doing well.
Jim Tomei did that.
He lasted Jim for a while Tomei. Too.
Well, you got to, you know, it's just a matter, I guess, of convincing the American League. I mean, has that already started or
no?
National League.
It comes up every year.
Yeah, National League. Yes, I'm sorry.
Like Chad said, now there's interleague play every day, so it's just
there's some push
to make things more standardized.
Don't forget, like because they originally started off as separate leagues. The American League came after the National League, and then they became joined together, you know, at the very beginning of the 20th century. And then they also had their own separate presidents up until about, I don't know, 5 years ago.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So now that they're all underneath one umbrella of, you know, judgments and suspensions and all that stuff, now the lines have blurred, and the only thing that's left is that the pitchers are batting, and it's just silly. It's ridiculous. So that's.
Do you think eventually the National League will probably disappear technically?
No.
Well,
National League in the sense of pitchers batting? Yes.
Of like actual differences in play, there won't be.
No,
I don't think there.
No.
Yeah, I think it'll. I think.
Well,
you're right.
There's different rules of like when to call a game.
Right.
Like in National League, they play until the game's over. In the American League, there's a 1 a.m. curfew on it. And then they have to stop, they suspend the game, and start it up whatever
time
the next
day. When would that start? I remember there were games.
It's been invoked sometimes. It's not always invoked. Right. But I think it's like, if it's an extra inning game, or if it's... if it's a rain-delayed game, that's different.
Right.
But if it's a game like, oh, they started late, or this game is just taking forever, and it's still not even the ninth inning, they'll suspend it. Or if there's like one inning left, but...
The 12th inning.
Yeah, something like that. And it's like, okay, guys, it's 2 a.m. In the American League, they did this. I think they got done with that, and it's all just under that blanket idea of, all right, just play till it's over. So that's that. And so baseball's going on.
Oh yeah.
Hockey just started. Is going to start their playoffs soon.
I'm upset because the Devils aren't in it.
No Devils. And. Yeah.
They suck this year, I guess.
Yeah, they were bad.
A little bit. Because everybody gets in the playoffs in the NHL.
Not
yeah.
Most of them do, don't they? Isn't that the thing?
16.
Season,
hold
right?
on. 16 out of 30? I think there are 30 hockey teams.
How many go in?
16. So that's more than half.
Wow, it's a lot of playoffs.
You got to be bad not to do it. But the traditional ones you'll hear, the Bruins, the Rangers, Penguins, Flyers, Canadiens. Red Wings, you know, teams like that. You know, just the teams you usually see. I'll be honest, I have not followed this year, so I can't really tell you which is going to be the favorite to win. I always like the Bruins. You know, an original six team is always good to see. And here you got four of them: the Bruins, the Red Wings, Canadiens, and Rangers. So that's always good to see. Oh, and the Blackhawks. So that's five out of the six. Those Maple Leafs. They just can't. Poor Toronto. They can't get a hockey team going, and that's
I had a girlfriend once who loved the Devils, and she hated the Flyers. A lot of other people hated the Flyers.
I was wondering why
people hate the Flyers so much.
Well, if
you're a fan of a New York team or a New Jersey team,
you're not
gonna
like
Philly.
You're not gonna like
kind of
probably. Yeah.
You know,
Philadelphia is lovely. I love Philly.
Yeah, if you're a Giant fan,
you hate the Eagles.
You're not gonna like the Eagles.
I'm a Giant fan. I can't stand the Eagles. So.
Right,
yeah,
exactly. I'm a Mets fan. I can't stand the Phillies.
I don't like the Phillies either.
Nope. I don't like the Phillies. No, nobody likes it. You know, so
I was wondering if they had done something.
Well, they also have a reputation. Back in the '70s, when they were winning their Stanley Cups, they were known as the Broad Street Bullies.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean,
bullies even for hockey.
Yeah. And then don't forget, they also share a state with the Pittsburgh Penguins, who had the great Mario Lemieux, who've won a couple of Stanley Cups, and all that stuff. So as compared, the Flyers haven't won since I think like 79 or something like that.
Wow,
it's been
so
a very,
like
something like
brother.
That. It's been a very it's been a long time.
Like a pissed off little brother.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. And they have a really bad interstate rivalry. It's really, or intrastate rivalry. It's not fun at all. And then
who's that? Who are you like in the NBA playoffs?
Anybody but the Heat.
Well, I mean, realistically, do you think the Heat are going to repeat? Or are they,
I don't know. They keep talking about the Pacers.
Aren't the Bulls pretty good too?
Bulls are okay. Bulls are pretty good. Okay, first time in the history of the NBA playoffs. No Lakers,
mm-hmm.
No Celtics,
okay.
No Knicks.
Wow. One of them.
The Lakers have sucked though, like for a long time.
A couple years.
They?
Well,
not. They've been pretty good, you know.
Yeah, I'd say the last 2 years.
Yeah.
They've been trying to get these older stars to stick around and really perform, but they haven't. So it hasn't worked
out
for them.
There's such a disparity in the NBA, though. I mean, I don't know what it's just like. It's like LeBron and then everybody else.
Well, the problem is that you have five players on the floor on your own team at a time.
Yeah.
I think at the most, you have like another 5 to 6 bench players.
Okay.
So at a time, you have a roster of no more than 12 going into a game. And when you have all the since there's so few players or, you know, players on the court at one time, your ability is amplified even more.
Okay.
If you're playing a football game, you're 1 of 11.
Right.
So your ability to take over the game is not as great. In baseball, you know, if you're hitting, you're the only one up there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stuff like that. Hockey's similar to basketball in that respect, but there's still a lot more because there's a goalie.
That's true.
But in basketball, there's only 5 of you, so whatever you can do to take over the game, you really do well with that.
Right.
So then when all these players go, hey, you're good, I'm good, let's be buddy-buddy, let's play together,
uh-huh.
and let's get that other guy over there,
yeah.
and let's just win. It's not fun anymore.
No.
Right.
It's not fun. And also, it's also a very regional game. If the Lakers aren't in, who's your enemy?
Right.
Who? Because that's the thing. People watch because they like it, and people watch because they don't want the villain to win.
Which is the Heat right now.
I don't want the Heat to win.
Right.
I'm done with LeBron winning in Miami. To heck with him. Stay in Cleveland, jerk. If you're going to win, I mean, that's a whole other thing, but I don't want the Heat to win.
He'll end up in Cleveland at some
point? Yeah, he might, yeah.
They keep his career.
Yeah, when he can't do anything left.
I know there's a lot of Knicks fans who want him in
He's not going. He's not going to New York. That's silly. That's ridiculous.
When is his contract up?
He can opt out. Like at the end of this year.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, they're talking. Oh, he might. Oh, he might not. Oh, he might. No, he won't.
Are the Nets in the playoffs?
I think so.
The Nets are.
The Nets are.
Yeah.
Which is kind of surprising. They did not start off well. They didn't do really, really fantastic this year. They did all right. But, yeah. But, I mean, you know, if there's no Lakers, you know, a lot of people aren't going to want to watch because, you know, they want to see the Lakers lose.
Yeah.
Or if the Celtics are in, they want to see the Celtics lose. Or even those classic matchups of Boston, LA, you know, New York, LA, you know, stuff like that. Those big name teams where you're like, hey, I want to see those two teams, you know, match up. The same way if you're watching a baseball game, you know, it's Yankees Cubs right now. It's in April. But would you watch a Yankees Cub World Series?
I mean, I would because I'm a Yankee fan, but most people probably wouldn't. They would want the Cubs to beat the Yankees.
Right.
Most people would.
Right.
It's like, you know, do you want Batman versus Batman or Batman versus the Joker?
Exactly.
Like
it's stuff
more
like that.
Interesting.
Yeah. But if it's in the NBA, now Toronto's in the playoffs.
Okay.
Would you want to see a finals of the Toronto Raptors
uh-huh.
versus the Golden State Warriors?
Not really.
I don't even know who they are.
Exactly. But if I say to you that the Chicago Bulls are in the finals. You know, that invokes the idea.
Right, of course. So everybody knows
Michael
there,
Jordan,
yeah.
Scottie Pippen.
Jordan's been playing. How long has he been retired?
Over 10 years.
Oh, my God.
He's in the NBA Hall of Fame. But what if I told you, okay, it's, you know, Chicago Bulls are in the finals, and they're playing the L.A. Clippers. Like, that's more interesting. Like, hey, Los Angeles, big city, you know, stuff like this. But if it's, you know, if it's Houston, if it's Memphis versus Charlotte, you want to watch that? No.
Probably not.
No, definitely not. No, it's just silly.
How are the Spurs? Are they in?
Spurs are...
You know what? You know
Spurs are in, yeah.
Okay.
Do you know World Series had very low ratings, speaking of this stuff?
Yankees and the Mets.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yankees and the Mets. Terrible.
Again, because who's going to be into, like...
That was it, I guess. New York,
right.
New Jersey.
Right. But here's the thing. Like, the Super Bowl, everybody watches it. Doesn't matter who's in.
Doesn't matter.
Because the other thing is, that's one game. All the NHL, NBA, baseball, 7 games. Best of 7. Whoever, first one to win 4. Like, games 5, 6, and 7 are more highly rated than games, you know, 2, 3, 1 through 4.
Because there's less games to go to. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And the possibility of anything happening in those games. But when it comes to something like the NBA, where you want to see, if you're in the finals, you want to see that big name. Who's in the finals? Tell me. You know, if I give you Houston and Indiana, that's not a sexy matchup. But if I tell you
really.
Boston, LA,
yeah.
that's classic.
Yeah.
That invokes Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. You know, the Grizzlies make you think of who? Zach Randolph? Like, you're not going to be interested.
Nobody.
Exactly. He's shaking his head. He doesn't know. No, so you want those big names. You want that stuff. Same thing with hockey. If I tell you that it's going to be Blackhawks, Red Wings,
right?
Chicago, Detroit, two of the original six, something like that. Or the Canadians. If the Canadians are in the finals, the Canadians are the Yankees of hockey. Mm-hmm. And so to have them be in the finals, that's big. People, oh, they've won the most Stanley Cups. I got to see them. Who are they playing? Who could they beat?
It's also good when you have, like, you know, you have an underdog and you have, like, a big player like that, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's why I think the Heat are good for ratings, too, because everybody wants to see them lose.
Exactly. They want to see them lose. You know,
someone's got to be the bad guy. Someone.
Right. Yeah.
It's interesting that you brought up
those classic matchups.
A lot of times the teams are still kind of riding on that because
yes.
There really aren't too many superstars anymore in the NBA. I mean, there's LeBron James.
And if they are, they're all on the same team.
Casual fans who don't know a lot about basketball, back in the 90s, you always knew, you knew Michael Jordan.
It was the golden age.
You knew Magic Johnson. You knew Larry Bird, and you knew
Karl Malone.
They had their own cartoons, man. They had their own
Patrick Ewing. Even
Michael Jordan was the short guy on the
Bugsy Bogues, Bud Webb.
Yeah.
Hakeem Olajuwon, Dikembe Mutombo.
Right.
Like names, that was like the golden age of basketball.
Who was Bo? Bo knows. Who was that?
Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson?
He didn't play on the NBA, but he was...
No, but he was pretty close.
He played football and baseball.
Yeah,
it's like name one like athlete that has a cartoon after him now, though. There aren't any, are there?
No.
Well, in other sports, there are, I would say. I mean, like, at least, I don't know.
How about the cartoon? It was Wayne Gretzky, John Elway, and Michael Jordan? Yeah. What? Bo Bridges.
I don't think I saw that one.
No, and they basically used their skill as athletes to, like, save the day or something.
Yeah, it's
some silly stuff, I don't know.
I used to love the, you know, Bo knows don't do drugs.
Bo knows
don't smoke. Bo knows don't drink.
And then Bo Diddley comes on. Bo, you don't know Diddley. I was like that. All right, guys. Well, thank you very much for joining me on this episode. Thank you to Mike. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chuck. Thank you very much. You can like us on Facebook at Everyman Sports. You can find us on iTunes. Just search Everyman Sports in the iTunes store. You can visit our website, everymansports.podbean.com. Or you can email me at everymansports@gmail.com. That's one word, everymansports@gmail.com. Happy Passover, guys.